ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlossophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlossophers, special edition today because we have a special guest with us here. Of course, I am your host, Eddie Villanueva. Alongside me is my co-host, Mr. Chad Riley.
Hello.
And we actually have a special guest in studio as we will be talking with the producer of the most recent controversial film, The Principal, Mr. Rick Delano. How are we doing, Rick?
Fantastic, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Can't complain.
We're just going to go ahead and jump right into this. Of course, we had the opportunity to screen the recent documentary, which was made in 2014, called The Principal. It's a documentary that questions the Copernican principle, a working assumption that arises from a modified cosmological extension of the Copernicus' heliocentric universe and discusses geocentrism, a superseded description of the universe where the Earth is at the center of all the celestial bodies.
And let me tell you, the movie actually does a better job of kind of watering that description down.
Yeah.
Most of us, hopefully, who are listening, have attended science classes, elementary, middle, high school, and college. And so basically, this is a discussion of whether or not the Earth is the center of the universe.
So let's dive right into this. Is that all right, Rick? Can we just go ahead and jump head first?
It's the only way I know, guys.
All right. So, Rick, you are the producer for the documentary, correct?
I'm the producer and the writer. I am guilty of this film.
You are guilty. That is good to hear because we got a lot of questions for you, my friend.
Let's hear them.
Rick, where does your expertise in the area of astrophysics lie?
I'm not an expert in the area of astrophysics. I am a documentary filmmaker. If my expertise lay in the area of astrophysics, I would have made these discoveries instead of simply pulling the covers off of them.
Okay, so in taking the steps towards creating a documentary such as The Principal, obviously this is a very unprecedented documentary. It's something that has pretty much shook the entire scientific community within the last 2 years, 2-3 years that it's been around. What made you decide to take the steps into creating such a documentary?
Well, the science, of course. Anybody who's been paying attention, which of course is not very many people, outside the cosmology community, has known for 10 years, for longer than 10 years, that there are absolutely stunning, potentially civilization-changing observations being reported to us from the large-scale cosmological surveys that have been launched since 2000. The only reason that this isn't gigantic news is because it's highly controversial and scary, because the Copernican principle actually is the idea that brings the modern scientific world into existence. If they got that one wrong, they would be in a rather analogous position to where the Catholic Church stood after Newton came up with his theory of universal gravitation and essentially destroyed the ancient view of the Church that the Earth was in fact the center of the universe.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned that you were writer on this documentary, and I have to say, for such a weighty subject, the film does actually do a good job of kind of walking through the history behind the Copernican principle and ideas that have arisen since. I took a lot of notes while I was watching the film.
I was eating popcorn while I was watching it. So,
you know, so well done on walking people through. I mean, we heard a little bit about the controversy, all the statements back and forth before we watched our copy of the film, and expected it to have a different take than it did. Much of it actually presented, let's say the first 50 to 60% of the film actually presented itself almost like, you know, a Discovery Channel walk through the history of, you know, our understanding of cosmology in the universe. And the more controversial statements didn't really happen until later, or at least the more recent ones. So my question for you as writer and documentary producer, what was your overall approach to constructing the narrative of the film? Obviously, there was interview footage from a number of higher profile members of the scientific community. There are some kind of descriptive pieces where a computer woman sort of helps explain some of the concepts. But what if you took a step back when you were constructing the flow of the documentary? How did you approach it? Did you look at it like a History Channel kind of a thing, or how did you make those decisions?
Well, my goal was simply to give you an 88-minute PhD in physics and cosmology without teaching you the math, and then bringing to your attention the, as I said, absolutely stunning new cosmological survey results, which are simply being hushed up. And that's why there was a controversy, because you aren't supposed to be hearing about this yet. They don't have an explanation for it. And consequently, my goal was to simply prepare the average interested layman for an examination of, and by the way, to my great shock, it is the very first documentary film ever to examine this fundamentally important idea of modern civilization. Essentially, there are very few things upon which 99.999% of humanity can agree. And one of them is that the Earth is not the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. And because no matter how much fury, no matter how much hysteria, at the end of the day, the nice thing about science is that you have to deal with the observations at some point. What I have done is I have documented a very crucial moment in the history of science. This film will only be more important as the years go by, because it's about 7 years ahead of its time right now. But mark my words. In 7 years, this film will still be absolutely as relevant as it is today, and it will still, I'm quite confident, be the only documentary film ever made about the Copernican principle.
And it goes without saying that the film does lay a very compelling argument. It does give the truest amount of information that one can probably look into and really find. And I'm pretty sure it does spurn a lot of people to begin their own research. And I think that's kind of the heart of the film, is to lay out enough information for fans and moviegoers to want to give them the desire to find out this truth on their own.
Exactly. The best example I can give you of why I had to make this film was when Dr. Michio Kaku in the film addressed another one of these little hidden anomalies, and he said that dark matter was something that had essentially been developed over many decades. You know, they didn't go on TV and tell us that the galaxies weren't obeying the laws of gravity, but for 70 years now, the cosmologists have known that the galaxies are not obeying the laws of gravity, which is a bit of an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Until they had developed a explanation for the failure of the galaxies to obey the laws of gravity in the form of dark matter. And he used these words, I didn't, but I'll repeat them. He said, for many a decade, this was just swept under the carpet. And of course, compared to dark matter, the possibility of a preferred direction, and indeed an axis in the entire cosmos oriented toward us, that makes dark matter look like a walk in the park. So you can see why there was such a hysterical attempt to mm-hmm. take this film out before its release.
And that's an interesting point in terms of you in the film. One of the things that's most compelling as a layperson, as you said, watching this, neither of us has anything close to an astrophysics degree or any other sort of degree that might help us.
By far. We're podcasters.
You know, we're decently intelligent human beings, but you know, we haven't done any of this kind of study. One of the things that makes the argument very compelling is that you have all of these interviews in there. Since the movie was produced and began to be distributed and floated around, some of the controversy has swirled around some of the participants. Claims that they didn't know exactly what they were in for when they were interviewed. As the writer. Did you have the interviews before you had a framework for the story, or the other way around?
Oh, the other way around. Let me just briefly address this notion that they didn't know what they were getting into. Well, they did. They all signed release forms that explicitly informed them what they were getting into. And they all spoke with me quite happily.
Mm-hmm.
For between 2 and, in some cases, 5 or 6 hours. For 2 years, they didn't have any problem with me. And this entire notion of the controversy is kind of interesting because none of the scientists had watched the film when they condemned it. By the way, neither had any of the journalists watched the film when they condemned it. This is one of the most fascinating things in the history of film, when you think about it. We made a film for 2 years. I was conducting ongoing conversations with the guys who were really important in the film. Max Tegmark signed a scientific consultation contract, provided me all of the graphics that we used in the film on the Axis of Evil. And then all of a sudden, they were tricked. And mm-hmm. why were they tricked? Because their phones rang in the middle of the night. And some journalist on the other end of the line said, did you know you just got tricked into a film where it makes you look like you're a geocentrist?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scientific method, I freely admit, makes demands upon us that require us, in Max Tegmark's word, to have our brain override our gut. And unfortunately, none of the gentlemen and none of the journalists interviewing them took even the first step toward basic journalistic integrity. They never watched the film first. Second thing they never did was, after running these articles for days and days and days to scores of millions of people, not a single one of the major media outlets ever called me. And we called them, mm-hmm. but they didn't return our calls. So what you have here is one of the most disgraceful, obvious, hysterically over-the-top smear jobs. And I take that as a badge of honor. It shows me I made the right movie. Because mm-hmm. they are scared of this movie. That's why they don't talk about it anymore. The silence is deafening. Now the film's out. If there was bad science in this film, they would have jumped all over it. They can't, because there isn't. Because yeah. it's them.
Now, I have a question for you, though, on that subject. Do you... Because it's the movie is not presented as so much conspiracy theory unveiled as it is informative. It actually comes across as very informative, which is a benefit to the film. Do you think that some of these individuals, maybe not with respect to the journalists, let's leave them out of it for a second, but with the scientific community people, do you think that there's a level of pragmatism that they're trying to display rather than, you know, sweep things under the rug?
They were just scared to death. They were told that they had been tricked. They were told that they had been misedited, that I had chopped them up to make them sound like they were geocentrists. Listen, guys, let's face it. The entire controversy is one single thing, and it is the fact that we addressed the dreaded G word. The fact that we allowed the geocentric implications of these observations to be discussed. That's the controversy. There is nothing else. No one was misedited. The science in the film is absolutely solid, and the way you know that for sure is they don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have here is a hysterical, I mean, somebody should really do a comedy about this sometime, about how the guy sat there and made a film, allowed the geocentrists to have a seat at the table, and the complete freak out that engendered. Well, guess what, guys? There's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. Because every one of these guys is very, very capable of understanding the implications of these observations. Every one of these scientists knows that as long as cosmology has been a science, there has been persistent and puzzling evidence that would point toward the Earth being in a special even central location in the universe. Many, many things have been invented to make those observations able to handle a different interpretation. But this story goes back to Greece, and it hasn't been resolved any more today than it was back in Greece. As I show in the film, no experiment over 200 years was ever able to measure the universally assumed motion of Earth around Sun. Now, that's interesting to me. That is fascinating to me because 500 years ago, if I told you we were going around the Sun, I was crazy. Today, I tell you we're not, I'm crazy. How did that happen exactly? Well, that story is, of course, what I call the greatest detective story in scientific history, and it is, and it's the subject of the principle. The controversy is worthy of a documentary of its own, and as I say, I take it as a badge of honor that this film was subjected to such an absolutely hysterical a campaign to carpet bomb it before its release. And the fact that we've survived it mm-hmm. and that we are now on platforms where we're reaching an audience all over the world, like I say, this film will just get better and better and better for years to come.
Popular Science, actually, you did an interview with Popular Science not too long ago, and they labeled you as the conspiracy theorist who duped the world's biggest physicists.
Boy, that's journalistic integrity at its finest, isn't it?
how do you process things like that? Because obviously you're getting both sides of this argument spectrum. You're getting a lot of people who are, you know, giving you their support. But how do you handle a lot of the backlash that you've been getting? How do you process a lot of that? And has it aided you? Has it, you know,
well,
taken away?
It wasn't pleasant to go through at the time, I can tell you. But in the long run, of course, it's been a tremendous advantage for the film. And in the long run, it will turn out to have been the most important good thing that ever happened to the film. You see, these guys, these journalists and a couple of the scientists, lied like hell. They insulted your intelligence. When Lawrence Krauss went on NPR and said, or I guess it was Slate where he said, I don't see how any reasonable thinking person in the 21st century could possibly entertain the idea that Earth could be the center of the universe. Well, that's an insult to your intelligence, because in the film, he himself says that these observations would mean we were the center of the universe. Do you see the game being played here? They have a lot to fear about this film. I have caught them talking out of both sides of their mouths. They say one thing when they don't think there's any of us rubes around, and they say an entirely different thing when they think that they're addressing the public. And those two things are directly contradictory. That is interesting.
How much weight would you say the argument, because this actually, with documentary filmmaking, if the subject is even mildly controversial, you regularly do have the argument of the role of the editor. Mm-hmm. To what degree would you say the editing process may have influenced the order in which their thoughts are presented in the film? Do they generally follow the flow of your interview conversations, or do they kind of mix and match?
Gentlemen, the film speaks for itself here. You've both seen it. I mean, what kind of a question is that? It is completely obvious to anyone with even a basic familiarity with what Lawrence Krauss says, with what George Ellis says, with what Max Tegmark says. They're all over the internet saying the same things. This issue of, you know, this issue of editing is nothing other than an attempt to divert attention away from an extremely fair-minded, I bent over backward to make sure that each one of these men would have their chance to make their statement of how they view this evidence. Of course I did that. I wanted to make a good movie. If you don't have the intellectual conflict, you don't have the movie. So I ask you, gentlemen.
Yes.
Did I cut these guys up to make it sound like they believed in geocentrism if they didn't?
As far as my view of the film, I don't feel it was heavy in the force of making anybody sound like they're for geocentrism. It does. So when we saw the film, we were able to really give it a good once over, and we were able to really just highlight certain things. We paused it, we talked, we continued the film, and it turned into almost like a three, four hour kind of excursion as we watched.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta gut check, you know, with your viewing party to make sure that you're understanding what they're saying. They are heady concepts, and they're presented very in quick succession. So if you're not familiar with the territory of the conversation, it can be a little dense, even for all of the very skillful simplification that's going on.
Google worked overtime that night. I can tell you that much.
I totally hear you. This is one of those films that, you know, I feel sorry for the people who stream it, because they're just going to have to buy it. Because you have to watch this film. Like I say, in 7 years, everybody will be saying, gosh, we all knew this. But it's one of those fascinating ideas that has shaped human history in such a way that I put it this way. Why am I the first person to have ever made a film about the freaking Copernican principle? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if we were all goldfish and nobody made a documentary about water, you'd have about the same reason. This is a foundational idea that brings the modern world into existence. We all accept it like the air we breathe. Mm-hmm. And nobody really has ever considered the possibility, what if we've had it wrong for the past 400 years? That's the job of this film, and I think it does it very well.
Rick, as far as the film's concerned, as far as this documentary and the mass amount of attention it's getting in the scientific community, as we said, because of its both sides of the spectrum of this argument, you know, both having their strong opinions about it. What does it look to the future for you and filmmaking, as far as are we looking to a continuation of the principle in a future documentary, or looking at another controversial topic that Mr. Rick Delano wants to go ahead and tackle and get some community up in an uproar? What do we got in the future with you?
I will be revisiting the principle, but not for 7 years.
Okay.
In 7 years, the Square Kilometer Array telescopes that are presently in development will go online. And that is when everyone in the world will find out that, in fact, the entire largest visible structures of the cosmos are, in fact, arranged around us. I will make the follow-up then. In the meantime, I have a couple I'd love to make. Obviously, the damage that has been done to the film by the hysterically over-the-top media carpet bombing has rendered me with a job of work on my hands to use every possible means to overcome this toxification campaign, and it's working. We're definitely expanding and growing now.
Yeah.
But I have investors to pay back, and that's job one, and I will get them paid back, please God. And the minute that I do, I will be in production on my next document.
And just, of course, we want to reiterate something as far as the film itself. The principle is a very thought-provoking, as much as it's controversial, it is a thought-provoking film. It is a film that will begin the conversation if it hasn't already. Obviously it has, because we see several outlets going on and on about it. We have a lot of people who a lot of outlets that we know that are in, you know, that are in agreement with it. So we do want to state that the film did get the conversation going within this duo here, within us. So we do want to thank you for creating.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I knew it was going to be controversial. I must admit, I drastically underestimated the degree to which the mainstream was prepared to go to try and shut this film down. But like I say, first of all, that's a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. Second of all, since we survived it, over the coming years, that will simply redound to our advantage. The film remains the absolutely must-see film for anybody who's interested in the latest anomalies in cosmology. And I'm very grateful that you found it thought-provoking. That's what I attempted to do. This was Mount Himalaya. This is by far the hardest movie I will ever do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to give people what amounts to a PhD in physics without knowing the math. And you have about 40 minutes to do that. And then you have to tell them about these stunning new observations and their implications. And like I say, this is a film that bears repeated viewings and repeated viewings over years to come. I don't think anybody else is going to be crazy enough to step into this after the campaign that was run on us. But that's fine. I made this film to last.
And it surely does. And of course, like we said, we here at the Filmlosophers, we love to engage in all kinds of movies, whether if it's documentaries, whether if it's animation, and in any of it, we love to examine it. We love to take a look at it. And of course, we want to thank again Rick Delano for his contributions to cinema and his efforts in creating the conversation of geocentrism. So from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, you know, we want to thank you again.
And thank you guys, and thank you so much for having me on. And just wanted to mention, you know, anybody who has any interest in actually getting to the bottom of the controversy, we have a free 20-minute mini doc called Thought Crime: The Conspiracy to Stop the Principal. Just go to YouTube. It's free. It will knock you out of your chair.
Yes, it will. And again, we want to thank you for listening to the Filmlosophers podcast today. And of course, if you want to catch this episode or all the other episodes, you can check us out at facebook.com/filmlosophers or twitter.com/filmlosophy101. Also, check us out on vgbstudios.com, where you can catch our podcast along with other great podcasts such as Video Game Bang and me, Mike, Self, and I. Rick, thank you again for such an engaging conversation, and we appreciate your time. Where can people find The Principal?
You can go to our website, The Principal Movie, that's P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E movie.com. There you can get the DVD and Blu-ray with the remarkable special features, and I highly recommend them. Also available for digital download and streaming on iTunes and on Amazon and on christiancinema.com.
All right, well, that about wraps up another awesome interview. But of course, like I said, thank you, Rick, for your time. And guys, check it out if you can. Check out the website. Check out this film. The trailer's on YouTube.
Yeah, give your brain a little mental exercise.
Oh yeah, it'll
a big mental exercise. Let's be honest.
But from all of us here, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, my name's Eddie.
I'm Chad.
Class dismissed.